Okay, and we're now on. And Peter Krause, Movie Metropolis, welcome to the show. We have so much to talk about. Last week we started talking about the Australian New Wave, the three films that are screening, and we'll be talking about one of those that will be on next Tuesday in a moment. We'll also be talking to the director, who was supposed to ring in last week, but it looks like he should be ringing in tonight, the director of The Naked Wanderer, another Australian film on release. And I have the interview with Avi Nesher, the Israeli filmmaker whose film The Other Story is playing as part of the Jewish International Film Festival. It's screening tomorrow at the launch of the festival, and also it will be screening as part of GIF in late October to late November. So much more to talk about, so many films to discuss on release, but first we need to talk about Reflections in the Dust, and it's my great pleasure to have on the line again Luke Sullivan, who's the director of Reflections in the Dust. Luke, good to talk to you again.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Now, I know we spoke, I think it was, must have been March or something like that.
Yeah, when the film came out. Yeah, about 6 months ago, yeah.
Yeah, so it had a very limited release then, and but it's great to see that it's getting a special screening on Tuesday night at the Thornbury Picture House at 8:30pm.
Yeah. And I'm so happy, so happy. Thank you to Bill Macellis for having me. It's incredible.
Yes, Bill and Chris Luskery, who...
Chris Luskery as well, yep.
Yeah, he was going to be on the show again tonight, but he wasn't able to. All right, now, look, let's go back and remind my audience about the film. And what is so intriguing about this film, it's one that's very difficult to categorise, and that's what makes it such a distinctive film. But what was your plotting or thinking behind the concept of Reflections in the Dust?
I mean, honestly, with Reflections, I wanted to do something different, like something that no one's ever done in Australia. Like, I wanted to push the envelope. I think Australian cinema is quite bland at the moment. I think people are afraid of taking risks, you know, and I really just felt like I wanted to go out there and make something that no one's ever seen in this country. I wanted to push the envelope, and I wanted to make people think, and I wanted to challenge audiences, you know, and I wanted to tell, you know, a story, and I wanted to explore a topic that was, you know, a very big issue and very important, but I wanted to do it in, like, a very different sort of abstract way. You know, I didn't want to do it like another Tale in the Suburbs, which was just, like, you know, too natural and stuff. I wanted it to be, like, very surreal and out there, and I wanted to explore a concept which, I wanted to explore the concept in a different way, and I wanted to challenge audiences, and I wanted to also encourage other filmmakers to do the same. I wanted to push boundaries.
You certainly have with this film. And there are a number of aspects to the film, and I'd be interested for you to discuss how you were able to put them all together. I mean, there's the issue of the two survivors, if you like to put it that way, about the issue of abuse that, in particular, the girl goes through. There's the issue of mental illness.
Yes.
So there's a number of factors in the film. In plotting that and writing that, how easy was it to put it all together?
It was difficult. It was extremely difficult. Like, I wrote a script. I wrote a very detailed script. But at the same time, as a filmmaker, I love to leave room for my actors and my crew to improvise, like, during the shoot. So at the same time, like, you know, I wrote the script and I wanted to, you know, structure the film. But at the same time, I wanted to actually explore, like, improvisation and, like, more natural kind of aspects. So it was challenging because, you know, we wrote the script and we set it all up and we planned it very, very well, you know, and very, very precisely. But at the same time, when we were actually out there on the set and we were shooting the film, we wanted it to, you know, be natural, and we wanted to explore, like, improvisation and shit. So it was very difficult to encourage my cast and my crew to actually, you know, make things up on the spot, I guess, you know, to explore, like, just to give it a really immediate kind of natural feel. So it was difficult, but at the same time, look, we worked hard and we did it, I feel, you know. Like, I, you know, made them very comfortable and I made them feel safe, and look, we explored very natural things out there, and it was incredible. And, like, I left a lot of room for improvisation, a lot of room for collaboration, and a lot of the scenes you see in the movie actually did not come from the script. They actually came from the cast, basically just using their instincts on set, you know, like exploring, you know, their own interpretations of the story and, you know, just going out there and being natural, you know, and just like interacting with each other and being honest. And, you know, it was difficult to kind of foster an environment where they would be comfortable to do that. But look, in the end, everyone was comfortable. We worked hard to make them comfortable. And look, they were incredibly natural, and they there was some, you know, beautiful kind of human connection, like genuine human connection, stuff you can't just script. You know, so it was challenging to achieve that, but ultimately I feel we did it.
I think, and you
it,
did.
It was beautiful. Yeah,
absolutely. And Sarah Hubbelt, she is blind herself, and how did you approach her in terms of her playing the role?
I mean, like I just said, like, honestly, like, Sarah Hubbelt is an incredible performer. She's an incredible actress. And from the word go, from the second that I casted her, I knew that I wanted her to bring kind of her own creativity to the role, her own interpretation, because, you know, I can only go so far with what I do and what I write. And I knew Sarah is an incredibly, you know, creative and talented individual as well. And I really wanted to let her, you know, be free kind of on the set and, you know, interpret the film and the story as she would. And also, you know, just leave it all out there and kind of use her own creativity to craft the scenes and also craft the interactions between characters. Like, I wanted her to be out there and be real. And that's what I did with Sarah. Like, I definitely let her interpret it as she would. And I let her essentially do whatever she wanted out there, you know, to kind of capture a real immediate sort of natural feel, you know. So I showed her the script. I established, you know, what I was trying to do with the characters and the story. But at the same time, I wanted Sarah to go out there and really approach it, you know, as she would, you know, like whatever she interpreted it as, you know, because I value collaboration. I value bringing creative individuals together to make a beautiful whole, you know. So I definitely let Sarah go free reign, I guess.
Yeah.
And have it a great feel, yeah.
And of course, Robin Royce Querrey, who plays the abusive father figure, yeah, or father, and the clown sort of makeup, etc. It's sort of a very complex sort of characterization.
Ooh. Incredibly complex, yeah. At the same time with Rob, like, he's an incredible actor. Like, he's a veteran of the game. He's been doing this for 30, 40 years. And the same with Rob, as I did with Sarah. Like, I wanted him to interpret the character, like, you know, as he saw it, and also use his own creativity and his own experience to kind of make the character his own, you know. Like, I wrote the script, I kind of, you know, explained to him how I intended the clown to be, but at the same time, I wanted him to bring his own experience and his own creativity to the role, and you know, craft something very natural in the end, and something very very authentic. We were really pursuing authenticity out there, and I feel like to achieve authenticity, it just can't come from me. It just can't come from words that I've written. It comes from you know, different people kind of bringing their experiences to the role and improvising and, you know, being natural. So that's what I encourage Rob to do, as well as Sarah.
And that's interesting, because how long would it have taken you to shoot the film, especially considering that you might have gone through a number of takes to get exactly what you wanted?
We did a lot of takes, 100%. Like, we, you know, I let them improvise, I let them be natural, I let them run around, I let them do crazy stuff, man, like insane stuff. Like, you know, there's a take where I let, you know, Rob just kind of run around for 8 minutes and do essentially whatever he wanted, however he interpreted the character. But, you know, I think that made the film beautiful, and I think it made it authentic, and I think, you know, I brought different perspectives to the role and the story.
Wow. And again, the decision to shoot it in black and white, but yeah, although there are some flashes of colour here and there.
Yeah, so with the black and white, I wanted to give those sequences like an otherworldly feel. I kind of wanted to separate it from the documentary aspects of the film, where, you know, our characters are being interviewed in colour, in red and blue. And basically what I was intending there, like, I wanted to draw a very distinct separation between the fictional aspects of the film and, you know, the documentary aspects. Because in those colour sequences, I'm actually interviewing the actors. So I'm not interviewing the characters. It's nothing to do with the story. I'm interviewing the actors, and I'm trying to draw on their experiences as people and, you know, draw on their experiences as people and how that relates to the film and to the story.
Now, that is so interesting, because, again, it is so difficult to pull off that sort of hybrid of documentary, docudrama, fictional story, all in one sort of narrative film. It's, again, a fairly complex process.
Oh, it's incredibly complex. Like, you know, when I first wrote it, when I first intended for the film to be like that, with documentary and also fiction, like, I didn't know if we could pull it off. You know, it was such an ambitious idea. But, like, honestly, like, when I did it, like, I didn't know if it was going to work. Like, I had no idea. Like, I kind of just went out there, me and my producer Giovanni, And we went, okay, we're going to do this hybrid. We're going to do this fictional aspect, and we're going to do this documentary aspect, and we're just going to see what happens. And look, we went out there, and we questioned the actors and stuff like that. And we saw, we basically just let them go free, like I said before, and we let them interpret the characters as they would. And essentially, I think we achieved it in the end, a very authentic kind of mix between documentary and fiction.
Right, absolutely. And when your actors saw the film back, when you showed it to them, how did they respond?
They were shocked. Yeah, I remember at Sci-Fi Film Festival in Sydney, my lead actor was shocked. Rob Query came up to me after, and he was like, I cannot believe I did that. Like, he's a very gentle man when you meet him. Like, he's a very gentle, kind of humble man. And he came up to me, he's like, I cannot believe you elicited that type of performance out of me. Like, what the hell am I looking at? But at the same time, look, he was incredibly proud. Like, he crafted a beautiful character. And, explored some beautiful stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And Sarah, because she's blind, isn't she?
She's blind, yeah. Or she's got partial sight, so she can see a little bit. Uh-huh. But, not too much.
Right. So for her, it might be more visceral sort of response to what she was hearing and feeling from the screening.
What's that, sorry?
Her response might have been a more visceral response in terms of hearing and feeling what was going on the screen.
With Sarah, it was very difficult to kind of direct her because obviously, she can't see that well.
Mm.
And we were out there and... look, it was more like, it was more kind of like how she... Exactly, it was more feeling and kind of instinct with Sarah. She played this role with a lot of instinct as opposed to actually being able to see her marks where she was going. Like, she kind of, interpreted it with instinct and she attacked it, in a very, kind of natural way, an authentic way. And I think that was, a great part of casting Sarah. Like, it wasn't all about what she could see. It was more about, her feelings and instinct, out there. It was beautiful. I think that's what made the performance so good.
It certainly does. Just for interest, are they both performing in other films?
Rob is a professional actor. He's been in various projects. I think he's been in Australia, The Great Gatsby, and also various independent feature films.
Mm.
With Sarah, though, she's more of a theatre performer. So this was actually her first film role, which is quite incredible because I feel like her performance was been so powerful for someone who, never been on the screen.
Mm. It is. It's extraordinary. Yeah. Now the film premiered at Carla Vivari, and I'm familiar with, not that I've been there, but I'm familiar with the more art house type of films that they screen there in the Czech Republic or Slovak Republic. Tell me about the screening there and the response that Reflections in the Dust received.
The response was extremely polarising. Look, we had a bunch of people who loved it. Like, we literally had standing ovations of people going, man, this is one of the best films we've seen at this festival for 10 years. People were blown away. A police officer who had actually investigated child abuse cases in the past actually came up to me after the film and went, this is one of the most authentic portrayals of the subject I've ever seen. And he was blown away, but at the same time, some people were also not so much of a fan of the film. Some actually walked out, some were disgusted. And it was polarizing,
it is.
We saw different reactions.
Yeah.
And I think that's the nature of the film, and that's why I make films. Like, I want to see people have an emotional reaction, whether it's good or bad. Like, I just want people to feel things with my films.
Yeah, and that's fully understandable. And I know when I spoke to some fellow film critics when the film was first screened in March, it's the response I got from them ranged from "What is this?" to a most extraordinary and incredible film. It's amazing how, as you say, it does polarize not just audiences but critics.
Exactly, no, it really does, and that's why I make films. Like, I really want people to just have a strong emotional reaction when they watch my work, Like, they may hate it. They may walk out and just go, what the hell did I just see? Or they may think it's a masterpiece. But at the same time, like, my goal ultimately as a filmmaker is for people to go in there, watch my film, and, just be blown away and really just feel something. Whether that's good or bad, I want people to feel stuff. And I think a lot of Australian films these days aren't powerful enough to do that.
That's a very relevant point. I was going to ask you about that, because a lot of Australian films, and I know that your film Reflections in the Dust is one of the 34 in this year's Australian Academy of Cinema, Television, Arts Awards feature film category. Yeah,
crazy. I'm so honoured to be there.
It's great, absolutely. But that is so interesting, because it's not a typical, if you can say what a typical Australian film is. It's not an Australian film that is easily categorisable and easily watchable necessarily, and because 100%. Of that, it stands out quite considerably.
100%. I'm so proud of that. Like, I really want people to watch my film, you know, among the 32 films that are in there, and I want them to, you know, see a different way of making films in Australia. And I'm so proud that I'm in there with those films.
Absolutely. And now your previous feature, You're Not Thinking Straight, that dealt with a man with mental illness, if I remember correctly. Your first film, You're Not Thinking Straight, that dealt with a man who had a mental illness.
Yes, it did. Yeah, so it also delved into that film delved into a homeless man who had a mental illness and he was kicked out of home. And I think thematically it's very similar to Reflections in that sense. In exploring mental illness and also exploring people who have kind of been forgotten by society. Like, I have a real big passion for that kind of concept, you know, like exploring people who are on the fringes of society and people who have issues and people who are misunderstood. Like, I think it's so important to tell the story of people like that.
Yep. So going back to Reflections in the Dust, where did you shoot the film?
I shot it at Manly Dam in Sydney.
So was that a good location, easy to use, or did you have to have special permission?
Incredible location. Yeah. At the same time, we faced a lot of adversity from the council, from the local council. But look, we got it done. Like, you know, we grinded hard. I negotiated hard, and look, we got the job done, and we made the film.
You
certainly
did.
It was a beautiful location, and surprisingly, it was such an urban area where we made it. Like, you know, this film was shot like basically away from like a major city centre, and I think that's a testament to the ability of my crew and myself to take a situation and make it different, make it otherworldly, even though we didn't really have the resources.
Yes. Did you mention this before, how many days it took to shoot?
8 minutes. 8 days.
Eight days. Right. Yeah, that's pretty economical, really. So yeah, I'm very impressed by that. And of course, the other aspect of the film that is remarkably prescient, of course, is the whole issue of abuse of women in relationships, in family situations, by husbands or whatever.
Yeah.
And the film, of course, acts as a pretty striking metaphor for that sort of storyline.
It does. I mean, like, you know, I think you know, there's an epidemic of violence against women in Australia right now. I think it's horrible. And look, I really wanted to explore. I really wanted to explore that, you know, in a very honest way, but also in a very boundary pushing way that would get people's attention. Like, it's an issue I am very passionate about personally. And look, it's horrible. And I really wanted to explore it in an honest way, but also a very surreal, abstract kind of way that would get people's attention and also push the boundaries.
Okay.
And, it's very important to me, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you've certainly done that well. So tell me, Luke, what's your next film?
I'm developing a film at the moment with the Cannes Film Festival. It's very much under wraps. It's a sci-fi film. Look, I can't say much about it, but
okay.
It's going to be huge, man. It's going to be huge, yeah. You know, every film I make, it's bigger and better than the last, and it's going to happen. You know, the next one's going to be huge, and everyone better watch out.
Yeah, watch out, Luke's on his way.
Yeah,
all right,
coming.
Now speaking of Luke's on you're being on your way, you'll be at the Thornbury Picture House on Tuesday night at 8:30 for
yep,
the screening.
I'm so excited to be there. I'm so excited for the Q&A. I'm so excited to have a chat with everyone in Melbourne, the underground film community. It's going to be amazing. You know, thank you so much to Bill Marcellus and Chris for organising the screening. I'm so excited.
And it's also a terrific venue too, the Thornbury Picture House. It's a very niche.
I've never been there, but I've heard incredible things. I've heard it's one of the best venues in Melbourne. So I think
it is.
I think it's a great venue for this film, really.
It is. I think it's a terrific venue as part of the Australian New Wave. And I noticed that Cerise Howard, a fellow film critic, etc., she's going to be hosting the Q&A.
Yep, she's going to be conducting the Q&A. I'm so excited. You know, I'm so excited to talk about the film with her and show it to another appreciative audience. I can't wait. I'm really, really excited.
Oh, excellent stuff, Luke. Congratulations on Reflection
much.
In the Dust. And I will ask you this question. I'll probably ask you this in March, but I'll ask you
it's
again
okay.
now.
Ask me again. It's okay.
Go for it. What have you seen any films of late that impressed you?
Guess what I saw last night?
Tell me.
I saw Rambo.
Oh, okay.
I saw Rambo last night with my mum.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't too deep. It wasn't too boundary pushing. But at the same time, look, I love exploitation cinema. I love fun cinema. And it was a lot of fun. And I would recommend people go and see it if they like, you know, violent exploitation cinema. It was good.
Okay. Yes, I didn't quite have the same sort of reaction, but that's fair enough. It'd be boring if we all had the same reaction.
Yeah, very different to Reflections, but I'm very open-minded. I like all sorts of cinema.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. I loved it. My mum loved it too.
Isn't that interesting to hear? Because that's there is a fair bit of graphic violence in the film.
There is, yeah. I think, you know, it's all good.
Okay. I love it. All right. We've been talking to Luke Sullivan, who is the writer-director of Reflections in the Dust, screening on Tuesday at 8:30 at the Thornbury Picture House. And just go to thornburypicturehouse.com.au and you'll be able to book tickets, get more information, etc. Luke, thanks so much for talking with me, and I hope all goes well.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Luke. All the best.
Okay, great. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, good talking to Luke there, and it is a remarkable film in many respects and quite distinctive, and if you can, go along and see it on Tuesday night at 8:30, especially if you're an ACTA member and you're wanting to see, of course, all 34 films, so you can vote. Of course, you can still vote even if you haven't seen all 34 films. I, of course, see all of them because I like to have a proper vote so I can compare them. But and of course, there's two categories in the feature film category. There's the standard category, and then there's films under $2 million in the independent feature film category, where Reflections in the Dust will fit. Go and see it on Tuesday night at 8:30 if you can. Reflections in the Dust.